Hello and welcome to Solutions. This is the third episode of our fourth series of podcasts for solution-focused hypnotherapists. And I'm Cathy Eland.
And I'm Trevor Eddles, and we're both experienced solution-focused hypnotherapists.
There's evidence that people have been going into trance since the earliest of time, and civilizations all over the world have used trance states for all sorts of reasons.
In the Western world, there have been a number of hypnotherapists, although they may not have called themselves that, who've stood out from the crowd. In this podcast, we thought it would be useful to look at some of them and what they did.
Okay, great. So let's start with Franz Anton Mesmer, 1734 to 1815. He was born in what's now Germany and qualified as a doctor. He began using magnets to cure disease and came up with the idea of animal magnetism. And he used magnets to cure a number of patients. Moving to Paris, he worked and demonstrated mesmerism, which by then included a mixture of trance, suggestion, and imagination. He influenced a number of other people.
Okay, next there was Father Johann Joseph Gassner, 1727 to 1779. He was an Austrian Catholic priest who healed people through what was believed to be supernatural means. He conducted exorcisms and employed techniques such as prayer, touch, and commanding spirits to leave the body of the afflicted individuals. But like hypnotherapy, his healing technique used suggestion and the power of belief.
Armand Marie Jacques de Chastenay, 1751 to 1825, was Marquis de Chastenay de Puysegur and had been a student of Mesmer. Puysegur developed his own theories, including identifying a state that he called artificial somnambulism. He thought that successful cures depended on the force of the magnetizer's personal belief in the usefulness of the treatment, their will to use that cure, and the strength of the rapport between the magnetizer and the patient. He would also diagnose a problem using trance.
We don't do that. All right, Abbé José Castillo de Faria, 1756 to 1819, was a Portuguese Catholic priest. He rejected the idea that hypnosis solely depended on magnets or animal magnetism. Instead, he believed that hypnosis was a natural and psychological phenomenon that could be explained without resorting to mystical or supernatural explanations.
One of Faria's key contributions was his emphasis on the power of suggestion in inducing hypnotic states. He introduced the concept of lucid sleep or cerebral sleep, where individuals could enter a state of heightened suggestibility or trance-like state through verbal suggestions alone, without needing external magnets or gestures. In his 1890 book, De la Cause du Sommeil Lucide, he introduced the induction technique of fixation or the fixed eye gaze method. He wrote about suggestion. He used a soft, soothing tone of voice and repetitive, persuasive suggestions to induce a hypnotic state. He also emphasized the role of the subject's imagination and their ability to focus their attention inwardly.
Next, we've got John Elliotson, 1791 to 1868. Now, he was an English doctor and professor in London. He used hypnosis with patients undergoing surgery to reduce their pain. Although discredited, he influenced the work of James Esdale, who we'll mention in a minute.
Okay, so that takes us to James Braid, 1795 to 1860. He was a Scottish physician and surgeon and is often called the father of modern hypnosis. He introduced the term hypnosis, derived from the Greek word hypnos, which means sleep. He describes the state of altered consciousness induced in subjects during hypnotic sessions. Braid also emphasized that hypnosis induced a trance-like state in individuals distinct from sleep. and no magnets need to be involved. He identified various physiological changes in subjects during trance, such as relaxation, focused attention, and increased suggestibility. Braid believed that suggestions during the hypnotic state influenced an individual's thoughts, behaviors, and perceptions. Of course, the foundation for therapeutic suggestions in hypnotherapy.
Okay, so as trailed earlier, James Estelle, 1801 to 1859, he was a Scottish doctor stationed in India and used hypnosis for surgery with impressive results. He reduced the post-operative mortality rate from 50% to 8%. When he returned to the UK, however, he found that scepticism and negative expectations contributed to his being unable to reproduce the results he'd achieved in India. The depth of hypnosis required for successful surgery is referred to as the Estelle state.
Of course. And Ambroise Auguste Liabou, 1823 to 1904, was a French country doctor who offered 10-minute treatments to patients using hypnosis. He founded the influential Nancy School of Hypnotism along with Hippolyte Bernheim in 1864. Hippolyte Bernheim, 1840 to 1919, expanded on the work of Liebel and popularized the psychological theory of hypnosis. He emphasized the power of suggestion in inducing hypnotic states.
So next we've got Jean-Martin Charcot, 1825 to 1893, who was a doctor in Salpêtrière in France and founded the Salpêtrière School in Paris. He identified hypnogenic zones on the body that could be pressed in order to achieve trance. On the plus side, he identified and named different levels of hypnosis. The three main depth stages of hypnosis he called lethargy, catalepsy, and somnambulism.
Okay. Joseph Breuer, 1842 to 1925, was an Austrian physician and psychologist who, like Freud, developed psychoanalysis. Breuer used a method known as the talking cure to treat a patient known as Anna O. The girl would freely associate and recount her thoughts and experiences while under hypnosis. Breuer used hypnosis to access Anna O's unconscious mind and uncover repressed memories or traumatic experiences that were believed to be causing her symptoms. Through the process of catharsis, the release of emotional energy associated with these memories, Anna O's symptoms improved and her condition gradually resolved.
Okay, so Sigmund Freud, 1856 to 1939. Well, he wasn't very good at hypnosis. So that's why he used free association with his patients and developed psychoanalysis.
Okay. So Émile Cohn, 1857 to 1926, was French and is best known for his auto-suggestion phrase, every day, in every way, I am getting better and better. He believed that healing must happen through the power of the patient and not through any power that the physician might have. Coué's law of suggestion are, number one, the law of concentrated attention. Directing one's attention towards a specific goal strengthens the impact of auto-suggestion.
Yeah, number two, the law of auxiliary emotion. When an idea has powerful emotion, there is more likelihood that the idea will be realised.
Number three, the law of reverse effort. The conscious willpower to achieve a specific outcome might sometimes be hindered by a reduction in the engagement of the subconscious mind.
And number four, the law of dominant effect. A stronger emotion tends to override a weaker one.
And there are other laws, such as the law of repeated effect and the law of subconscious teleology.
Next, we got Dave Ellman, 1900 to 1967. He was an American who defined hypnosis as a state of mind in which the critical faculty of the human mind is bypassed and selective thinking established. He developed a rapid induction technique known as the Ellman induction, which aimed to induce a trance state quickly and efficiently. His approach emphasized the use of direct suggestion and deep relaxation techniques.
And then we have Milton Erickson, 1902 to 1980. He was an American doctor. He gave us the Ericksonian approach to hypnotherapy, which uses indirect suggestion, metaphorical storytelling, and utilization of the client's own resources and experiences. He recognized the uniqueness of each individual and tailored his therapeutic interventions accordingly. He utilized the client's experiences, their interests, and beliefs to create customized hypnotic suggestions and therapeutic strategies. He employed an indirect and permissive style, believing in working with the client's unconscious resources and empowering them to find solutions.
Yeah, great stuff. NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, originally started as a way of watching successful therapists and extracting and copying their most successful techniques. The next stage was to actually codify these techniques and expand on them. This they did watching people like Fritz Perls and Virginia Satir to produce what they called the meta model of therapy. When they were introduced to Milton Erickson, they realized he worked completely differently, and they produced what they called the Milton model. The people most associated with NLP are Richard Bandler and John Grinder. They produced techniques such as the fast phobia cure, which we call the rewind, and the swish technique. Originally, NLP made use of hypnosis to help clients.
And then we get to solution-focused hypnotherapy, which is a combination of the techniques derived from SFBT or solution-focused brief therapy and hypnotherapy. It also uses ideas and techniques from positive psychology, NLP, and neuroscience to help clients to achieve their goals. It does this rather than focusing on the problem that the client has experienced. And David Newton is the name usually associated with this combination of techniques.
And now, of course, you can add your name and successes to our list.
Indeed. Well, I hope you found that interesting.
Yeah, next time we'll be looking at positive psychology.
Can't wait. Until then, it's goodbye from me, Cathy Eland.
And it's goodbye from me, Trevor Eddles.
Bye.
Bye.